If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 11. We'll get there in just a minute. Psalm 42 and verse 6 says this, "My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you." It's probably true there are some things in life that we are better off forgetting. The longer we hold to the memory of those things, even really sort of the worse our life becomes. And no doubt about it, this would be true as well. There are certainly those things that we would all like to forget. Things that we've experienced, things that we've gone through, things that we've done, mistakes that we've made. We would if we could, and we certainly try to forget those things. When the psalmist is in trouble, when his soul is downcast within him, it's interesting. The focus isn't so much on forgetting, rather it's on remembering. Remembering the Lord. Remembering who he is. Remembering what he does. Remembering how he loves and how he works. Remembering the privilege of relationship with him. The help and the strength and the joy he brings. The power he has. The victory he gives, the peace he provides. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. This morning I want to share with you a very familiar portion of Scripture, a very familiar story. All of us will know it, no doubt about it, we'll know it well. And as we consider the lessons to be learned from it, that of the story that would be the application for us. What do we take from the story so that it impacts our Sunday, so that it impacts our tomorrow? Those things, I've no doubt, but that it'll all be a reminder. Nothing necessarily new. The lessons revealed, we know them. We've already learned them. Today will be the reminder for us. The message this morning, one of remembering. It was good for the psalmist to do that. I pray that it's good for you as we do that together this morning. Even as it was for me in my own devotional time, reading this story this past week and seeing these things that I know, and yet seeing them revealed in this story and being reminded of them, and even as well encouraged and strengthened as I was reminded. Especially maybe you're here today, the circumstances of life that you've gone through this last week, what you find yourself in the middle of, all that's happened, all that is happening, maybe you would sense that the description fits you. Your soul is downcast within you. May the Lord's word today, may this story, as familiar as it would be to all of us, may it bring life to you. May it strengthen and restore as you remember these things. The first is this, the reminder. You can go to Jesus. You know that, don't you? I just want to remind you of it. John 11, our story is Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Really, it's more his story. His sickness, his death, 4 days in the tomb until Jesus shows up and calls him out of that tomb. Look at it in verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick. Verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." The reminder this morning, you can send word to Jesus. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what the struggle maybe is in your life. But the reminder this morning, the good news, the encouragement for you, you can send word to Jesus. You can go to him with your need, with your trouble, with the problem, with whatever is your struggle. You can go to Jesus in your discouragement. You can go to Jesus in your weakness. You can go to Jesus in your failure. You can go to Jesus with your sin. Hear me this morning. You can go to Jesus with your sin. In fact, I would tell you there's no better place to go than to go to Jesus with your sin. With all due respect to the Catholic Church, they've got it all wrong. I don't need to go to a man. I need to go to Jesus with my sin. I need to hear from Him, His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace that would be applied to my heart and my life. Isn't it true? It seems the first thing we tell ourselves, first thing we hear the devil tell us for sure, we've messed up, we've stumbled, we've given into the temptation, done what we shouldn't have done, said what we shouldn't have said. You can't go to Jesus looking like that. Having done that, having said that, No, you need to keep your distance. Listen, you messed up on Thursday. You can't go to Jesus on Thursday. You need Friday to get yourself together and not mess up. And then maybe Saturday as well. And maybe then on Sunday you can come to church and feel that everything's okay. Maybe on Sunday you can start to feel better about yourself. Listen to me. The devil is a liar, and that's one of his lies. It's not true. Listen to me. You can go to him. You can go to Jesus. Can I simply say it this way? In whatever is going on in your life, whatever, you can go to Jesus. And whatever the devil would make you to think, you can't go to Jesus with that. And whatever you would make yourself to think, I can't go to Jesus with that. And whatever other people would tell you, you can't go to Jesus with that. Listen to me this morning. In those things, whatever those things are, you can go to him. Anything, everything. You can take to him in prayer. Don't miss the privilege of going to him. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, is the way the hymn writer put it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Do you remember why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I'm just telling you the way the hymn tells us this morning. Some of you might be forfeiting peace right now in your life. You're forfeiting peace. You're bearing needless pain. You don't need to be bearing that. You ought not to be bearing that. But you are, because you've forgotten. You are, and the Lord has brought you here this morning so that you can be reminded. Oh, but you can take hold of that peace today. You can let go of that pain today as you remember you can go to Jesus. You can send word to him, whatever your need happens to be. James 4, you do not have because you do not ask God. Hebrews 4, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. 1 Peter chapter 5, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Listen to me this morning, you will carry burdens you don't need to be carrying. You won't receive the mercy. You won't find the grace that the Lord makes available, freely makes available to you. You won't get what you'd otherwise have if you miss the privilege, if you forget the blessing that is found simply in this. You can go to Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, what's going on? What are you dealing with? Is there relational stuff? Marriage, trouble, kids concerning you. They always do, maybe more than normal. They're concerning you. Maybe there's things in life. Maybe there's health problems. Maybe there's financial trouble. Maybe there's a work situation that you're dealing with, a sin struggle. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's bitterness. Maybe there's lust. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe you're living in bondage. Maybe you struggle with past shame, failure, regret. What do you need? Without preaching the message all over again, can I ask you last week's question? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Whatever it is, you can go to him. I know you know it this morning from the story of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. I would just remind you of it. In a few minutes, as we've begun making a habit of doing, we're going to make this a place of prayer and worship. Can I encourage you in those few minutes, go to him. Ask of him. Let him to know the desires of your heart. According to Psalm 37, listen, you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give to you the desires of your heart. Go to him. In a few minutes when we gather at these altars or maybe at the pew, send word to Jesus. Lord, this is the desire of my heart. This is what I'm wanting you to do in my life. This is what I'm asking of you. Receive the mercy. Get the grace. No matter how big, no matter how small, cast the worry, cast the concern on him. You can go to Jesus. Second this morning, the reminder that is this. You can trust in his word. You see, again, you know that, don't you? It's just a reminder today. Verse 4, when Jesus heard this, when he received the word, Jesus, the one you love, Lazarus, our brother, he's sick. Jesus, he needs you. Then the word that Jesus declares, verse 4, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. We know how the story goes, don't we? By the end of John 11, Lazarus is very much alive and well. John chapter 12, he's reclining at the dinner table with the Lord himself. Listen, what Jesus says to you, and I understand this morning, we can sometimes get that wrong. Listen, we ought not to beat each other up or to beat ourselves up. We ought to be careful with what we claim to be a word from God. You ought to be very, very, very careful before you ever utter the words, the Lord has told me, or the Lord has told me to tell you. We need to be very, very, very careful. Sometimes our inclination, we just throw that around. Well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, and the Lord told me to go to McDonald's instead of Burger King, and I felt the Lord told me to watch this show instead of that show, and it's just all the time this sense that the Lord telling us this and that and everything else. We need to be very careful with that. We need to be very careful with how we handle his word and what we claim to be his word. But listen to me this morning. What Jesus says to you, what God has said to us in this word, we can believe that. We can trust in that. Maybe you sense your soul is downcast within you. There's trouble, there's discouragement, there's heartache, whatever it is. Listen to me, dear brother, dear sister. Here's the word that would sustain you. Here's the word that would strengthen you. Take hold of that word this morning. Recognize, remember, be reminded today. You can believe it because it's true. You can put your trust in it, your confidence in it. His word, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's your friend. Your soul downcast this morning because of loneliness, feelings that you have, no one understands, no one's with you, no one's for you, no one's there to help you. Listen, hear the word of the Lord this morning. He is your friend, sticks closer than a brother to you. You can believe that. You can trust in that right now, right here in this place. You can begin to stand on that word. Declare it over the loneliness in your life. Loneliness, thus saith the Lord. He is my friend that sticks closer than a brother. His word, he's the God that provides for you. He's the God that heals you. You can believe that. You can trust that. His word, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His word, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you will be saved. His word, though your sins are as scarlet, he will make you white as snow. His word, though you were once his enemy, you're now his son, his daughter. You're no longer a slave to fear. You're a child of God. He calls you his friend. You can believe that. Some of you are living far less than your identity, far less than all that God sees in you and about you. You're living far less than all that Jesus died for you to have and for you to live in. The devil's a liar. He's a father of lies, and you've believed him. Not sure Jesus really loves you, because Jesus can love other people, but Pastor, you just don't understand how sinful I was, how sinful I can even still be inclined to be. You don't understand. Just me. Jesus has no need to pay attention to me. No one has ever paid attention to me. No one has ever really loved me. No one has ever really cared for me. Jesus doesn't. Everybody else, yes. I just don't know that he loves me. Not sure if Jesus has saved you. Well, Pastor, I hope I'm good enough for him to have saved me. Don't you understand? You've just negated everything about the grace and the mercy and the power of the cross. You have to understand, listen, the reality, we're all in the same boat. There's nothing lovable about any of us except that God chooses to love us. There's nothing worth saving in any of us except Jesus chooses to lay down his life at the cross of Calvary so that he might save us. Some of you have believed a lie. You're still no good. Oh, Pastor, I hope I make it to heaven. I'm not sure. I don't feel it very often. I'm not good enough for it. I hope I make it. Listen, his word is truth. You can believe it. You can trust it. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives you strength. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. What do you mean you're not sure you're going to make it to heaven? Jesus doesn't make it to heaven? Of course he does. You are clothed with his righteousness. When God sees you, he sees the righteousness of his son. That's his word. You can believe it. You can trust in it. It's always been true. I believe it's even more so true in our day, more and more true. His word is the only thing we can trust. His word, he prepares a place for you. If he does that, he's coming back for you. That's his word. He's coming. He said he would come the first time, and he did, born in Bethlehem's manger. He said he's coming again, and he will, to rule and to reign over all the earth. You can trust his word. He's coming. His word, he works all things together for good. Do you believe that? I'm talking about right now, smack dab in the middle of the mess you're in. Do you believe that God can turn it around and make good come of it? Make it look more like Jesus because of it. Work in your faith. Work on your faith. Shape and mold you into the person that he wants you to be and has destined you to be. shape and mold you so that you can do more and better the work he's destined for you to do. Do you believe that? In all things, he works for the good. He does because he says so, and his word is true. You can trust in his word. Maybe the challenge for you this morning would be to get into his word. What you're going through, what you're dealing with. Can I ask you this morning, do you know what the word says about that? Have you received that word from the Lord? You're struggling with depression and you're not sure how to handle it. You're not sure what to do and how to manage it and what to do to fix it. You're down. This virus has taken its toll on you, and just the mess that has become of life, where it's transitioned to, from what was normal to what is absolutely not normal, and it's begun to drive you nuts, and you've taken a nosedive into discouragement and depression and despair. Do you know what the word says about the joy of the Lord? Do you know what the word says about the encouragement that God gives? Have you sought out that word from the Lord? Because his word is true, and you can count on it. You can believe in it. You can trust in it. Some of us, I believe it with all my heart. I don't say it to sound rude or mean, but what you need is to get yourself into God's word so you can have a word from the Lord for what you're going through. You're doing everything else but look to him and to hear what he would speak into your situation, what you're dealing with, what you're facing, what you're struggling with. His word, you can trust in that. His word, then, is what you need, what I need, what all of us need. And can I add, I believe it's especially true in our day, we need the protection of his word. In the last days, listen to me, that's right now. I believe it with all my heart. That's this day. The Bible is clear, the deception will be more and more and more and more intense. There's going to be more of it. And the intensity of the deception is going to be greater. It's the truth of God's word that we'll need more and more then. 2 Timothy 3, mark this. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. In 2 Timothy 4, for the time will come, men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. In light of all that, it's the word of the Lord through Paul to his servant Timothy, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. In light of this, in light of the last days, people lovers of themselves and money and boastful and proud and abusive and all the rest. In light of this, in the last days, teachers that will come with a message that does nothing more than tickle the ears. There's no power. There's no divine truth in it. It's just a message that leaves everyone feeling good. And oh, wasn't I glad to go to church this morning, because the message, it appealed to me. It pleased me so much. What does Paul say? What is the word of the Lord to Timothy in light of all of that? What's the charge? Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Listen, it's the word that will protect us from unsound doctrine. And listen to me, church. Last days living like we're living right now, we need that protection. Be careful lest you're inclined to think you don't. Be careful the pride that comes before the fall. No, we need the word. Now, if you want to say with confidence, oh, Pastor, I'm not afraid of the deception because I'm anchored in the Word, I got you. I understand what you're saying. But if you just willy-nilly, I'm not afraid of deception. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm too smart for that. Oh, my brother, my sister, watch out. The deception is for real. We need to anchor ourselves in God's Word, lest we go the way of the deceived. Listen, this is something that I often say. Better men and women than you and me have been deceived. Unless we go that way, we anchor ourselves to the truth. We need the Word so that it protects us from the unsound doctrine, so that it protects us from what our itching ears want to hear, but what's not the truth. Listen to me, you need the truth. You don't always need to hear what you want to hear. Sometimes you need to hear the truth. We want the truth. It's the Word that will protect us from the pride and the greed, the bitterness, the slander, the lack of love, the lack of self-control. It's the Word that will protect us from becoming lovers of pleasure instead of God. The Word is true. We trust in it. It's both a privilege and a responsibility. That's both the encouragement and the admonition this morning. Brother, sister, you're in trouble? Your soul downcast within you? Oh, here's the Word of God, though. The Word that's true. The Word you can trust in. You can hold tightly to it and be sustained and be strengthened. Brother, sister, living in our day, these last days? Oh, here's the Word that's true that you can trust in. You better hold tightly to it. Still just a bit more here before we move on. John 11 and verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And again, we know the story, don't we? Lazarus went from being sick to being dead. Jesus said that sickness wouldn't end in death. The story doesn't end with Lazarus in the tomb. Jesus' word is true, but there's a delay. What Jesus says is not what initially happens. And that's the real challenge for us, isn't it? The delay. What do you do when it looks like God's word is proving to be not true? What do you do when you need him and you call on him, you send word to him, but he stays where he's at for 2 more days? What do you do when you hold on to the promise today that he's your healer, but you go to the doctor tomorrow and get the report that you're getting worse, not better? That's the problem, isn't it? That's where we struggle. So this morning, in the challenge and in that struggle, in the problem of the delay, just a few things. Be reminded of this. Jesus is always working to increase your faith. He's always doing something. Jesus is always working in your life. And if you don't see him working in regards to the miracle you need, you can rest assured, if nothing else, he's working in and on you, your faith, to make it better, to make it stronger. Look at it in verse 14. So Jesus told the disciples plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Jesus is always working to increase your faith. Jesus is always working so that God might be glorified. Look at it in verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Can I say it this way? If God hasn't come through for you yet, listen to me. I know I speak to many in the room that are still waiting for the miracle. If God hasn't come through for you yet, Can I put it in light of John chapter 11 and give this as a potential answer? It's simply because there's a better way and there's a better time wherein he might get more glory from the miracle that he does in you. And can I remind you, dear believer, the catechism says it this way, the chief end, the chief goal of all mankind is to glorify God. Whether you know it or not, that's the agenda. Whether you know it or not, that's the mandate. Your life not lived. Come on, dear brother, dear sister, your life not lived for you. It's not about you, not at all. It's about God's glory, that he might be glorified. And listen to me, here's the reality that hopefully we come to as we mature in our faith, that our prayer becomes, God, I want the miracle now. You better believe I do. I don't want to be sick a minute longer than I need to be. I don't want the pain a minute longer. I don't want the financial need to exist a minute longer. I don't want the financial stress, the relational stress, not a minute longer. But God, if you'd get more glory in my life and from this by working the miracle tomorrow instead of today, God, do it tomorrow. God, do it next week. How many understand? Listen, we might need to do a series on the most difficult prayers you'll ever pray, but the prayers you need to pray as we recognize and as we grow, as we mature in our faith, it's God's glory that we're looking for. It's God's glory. Listen, it's when God's glorified, when God's lifted up, that all man is drawn to him, humanity, mankind, begins to look to him. You glorified, you comfortable, you having all your needs met. Listen, we would understand the power of a great testimony, but the reality of Scripture, it's when Jesus is glorified that people are drawn to him. And then as well this, Jesus is always deeply moved by all that's bothering you. Jesus is always, listen, we interpret this business of Jesus waiting 2 days, and that tends to be, Lord, don't you care about me? I don't understand. The Lord must not care about me. The Lord must not, if he loved me, if he really cared about me, he wouldn't have waited 2 days to come and to take care of the need. John 11, look at it in verse 28. After she said this, she went back, called her sister Mary, the teacher's here. He's asking for you. Mary heard this. She got up and went to him. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Verse 38, Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb. Listen, his timing, his purpose might be different than yours. His delay might be perplexing. His ways, not your ways. That's always incredibly frustrating. But listen to me, despite that, don't ever doubt this. He loves you, and he is deeply moved by your heart, your trouble, your grieving, your turmoil, the burdens that weigh on you on the inside, the brokenness that you feel in your heart, the unsettling, the anxiousness that you feel in your heart. Jesus is always deeply concerned. Don't misunderstand his delay. Don't interpret his delay. He doesn't care about me. That's not true. He does. Jesus wept. One writes, this was the God-man, deity himself, weeping. God does have a deep emotional and sympathetic love for you and for others. You can believe his word. From the Lord, I sense today the invitation. Go to him, ask of him, take hold of his word, lay claim to one of his promises. Listen, if you're in the middle of it, if your soul is downcast this morning, I would encourage you, don't leave this place until you've taken hold of a promise of God and claimed it as your own. Watch how it would change you and work in your life. Let him speak to you, maybe in light of the thing that you're asking him for. Let him give you his word. Determine today, in the delay, you'll remember this: God's working. He's working to make my faith stronger. He's working so that he might be glorified more and better in me. In the delay, you remember, he loves you and he is deeply moved by all that weighs on you and on your heart. The reminder this morning, number three, you can hope in his power. Verse 11, after he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. The Amplified Bible adds this note. The Jews believed that the soul hovered around the body for 3 days, during which there was still hope. After 4 days, all hope was gone. Do you understand the lesson this morning? With Jesus, in light of his power, hope is never gone. It doesn't matter 3 days or 4 days. Listen, this is the truth. All of us would have our own hope time limit. 3 days. I've been hoping. I've been praying 3 days. But it's the fourth day. Hope's gone. It's not going to happen. God's not going to come through. I'm not going to get the miracle. Maybe for you it's 3 months. 3 months. I've stayed in this relationship. 3 months I've been praying for the miracle. 3 months I believe that God's going to change the heart of my boss. 3 months. 3 months I've been believing. But now it's the fourth month. All hope is gone. Time to give up. It's time to throw in the towel and be done with this thing. Maybe 3 years. Maybe 30. All of us would understand what it is to give up on hope. All of us would understand. I used to believe God would come through. I used to believe that God would bring the healing. I used to believe that God would help and provide, but it didn't happen. He didn't. And my faith began to waver, and hope was compromised, if not in fact, lost. Listen, the reminder this morning, you know this. Yours is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. Listen, I don't say it to be unsympathetic to what you're going through. I say it simply because it's true. No matter what you're going through, you never need be without hope. But Pastor, the doctor said, oh, but my brother, Jesus said. Jesus said that he's the all-powerful God and there's nothing impossible. There's nothing too difficult for him. But Pastor, the banker said, 30 days ago, the banker said, in 30 days, I lose everything. That was yesterday. Today's 31. Hope's gone. Tomorrow, I'm sure to lose everything. Oh, but Jesus has said that he's your provider, that he can do it. He can make manna fall from the heavens. He can make quail cover the ground. He can provide for you. He can sustain you. He can help you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, you need not be without hope, because his power is such that he can do immeasurably more than you could even ask or imagine of him. Romans 15 and verse 4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Everything that has been given to us, everything that's been written, hope. You read Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, it ought to speak hope, hope. God can do it. He only has to speak the word. God can do it. Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, and in 1st and 2nd Samuel, and the story of Ruth, and the Psalms and the Proverbs, hope, 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 hope. The miracle birth of Jesus, the miraculous life and ministry of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, hope, hope, hope. on into the epistles, all the way through Revelation. Hope, hope, hope. I don't know how else to say it. If you don't have hope this morning, you've just not been in here enough. You don't understand enough all that the Lord has revealed to us of himself and of his great power. Romans 15 and verse 13, may the God of hope fill you so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's hope in his power for now. His power in you that helps you to live more than a conqueror. Don't live life less than that. Don't diminish or demean God's power like that. You are more than a conqueror. Live like that. His power. You can hope in his power so that you do live life like that. His power helps you to know victory over the enemy. No peace in the midst of the storm. No joy in the midst even of the sorrow and the suffering. His power in you helps you to say no to the things of the flesh and instead stay in step with the Spirit. Whatever it is that he's called you to do, however it is that he's called you to live, he's given you the power so that, yes, you can be all of that. And yes, you can do all of that. 2 Peter 1, it's our study starting Wednesday. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's impossible for him. Whatever you're going through here and now, you can hope in his power. And it's hope in his power to come. Look at it in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. It's his power at work in you that will one day make you to triumph over the grave. It couldn't hold him because of his power. And because his power is in you, it won't hold you either. Listen to me. You've lost a loved one in the faith. We could all think of those that we know, right? Some even from this church. I'm telling you, his power at work in them. They overcame. They experienced victory in what was a sad moment for us. It was the greatest victory they could ever experience as they stepped from this world into the very presence of God. That's his power at work. That's the power that we'll know one day. And it's a demonstration, it's a picture of his power that we can know right now. He gives you victory over that in a day to come. You better believe in whatever you're going through now. You can hope in his power. You can go to Jesus. You can trust in his word. You can hope in his power. And fourth, the reminder we finish, you can see his glory. That's how Jesus describes the miracle of Lazarus' resurrection. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always do, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. In light of a moment ago, we could say it this way. You don't just have to hope in his power. You can experience his power, his wonder-working, miracle-working power in your life. But again, because Jesus used the word, we'll use the same. You can experience, you can see his glory. My simple, very much layman's definition of glory like this. It's when God shows up and God shows off. You want to see his glory? That's what you want. That's what you need. You want him to show up. And you want him to show off and begin moving among us and working among us and doing the miraculous among us. Don't you want that? New life, don't you want that? Dear brother, dear sister, don't you want that? Don't you want it in your life? Don't you want it in your family? God, show up and show off. Demonstrate your power. Demonstrate that wonder-working, miracle-working power in my life, in this church, in us. And watch this. Here it is. We go a bit further. It's not just that we can see his glory. It's that we will. Look at it again in verse 40. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Do you believe today? Can I remind you that we believe God's a miracle-working God? What miracle do you need him to do for you? Do you believe that he can? Can I ask you this way? Do you still believe that he can? Do you believe that he can do it for you? I know our tendency is to believe that God does miracles for others, and we're good at praying for others. God, do a miracle. Hey, my brother. Hey, my sister. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. God can do a miracle because we believe sincerely that he can for them. But for me, can God do the miracle that I need him to do? Pastor, you don't understand. I've been praying 4 days. 3 days I was good. 4 days, hope's gone. Pastor, I've been praying for 4 months. Pastor, I've been praying for 10 years. Truth be told, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that he can. And the word of the Lord to you today, does he not tell us, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. If you believe, New Life, listen to me, if we believe, we'll see God show up and show off in this place. And my dear brother, my dear sister, if you believe, you'll see God show up and show off in your life. Do you understand God's glory? God shows up, shows off here. We experience the miraculous here. We can see that. We can experience that. One last thing. When you do, just make sure you spread the word. John chapter 12. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." God shows up here. God shows off here. We experience the miraculous here. And then we go and tell everyone out there what happened here. You can go to him. Do that. You can trust in his word. You can hope in his power. Do that. Trust in what he said. Have hope again in what he can do. We can see his glory. Oh, New Life, let's do that. Let's position ourselves in faith so that we can see his glory, so that we can experience the miraculous and be able then to tell others so that they can meet and believe in Jesus. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, very specifically, because it was sort of where we started it all, I pray for the one that's come into this place, their soul downcast within them. Oh, Lord, today we remember. And for them especially, and for each and every one of us in this room, may we remember today the awesome privilege that is ours. We can go to you. The awesome wonder, power of your word. God, when you speak it, when you declare it, it's the truth. We can hold to that. We can believe in that. We can trust in that. Lord, would you speak a word to your people today as we seek you? Lord, for my brother, my sister, downcast in their soul, that, Lord, you speak a word that they would be able to hold on to, that would sustain them through the difficult season they maybe find themselves in. And Father, Oh, Lord, may there be the reminder today, your power is great. You are our omnipotent, all-powerful God. There's nothing you can't do. May we hope again. I pray for my brother, my sister that's lost hope in the miracle. They've given up on the miracle. They thought their finances would always look like that. It would always be a struggle. They thought their health, they would always be on that medicine. They would always have that pain. Oh, God, would you restore hope today that you can do the miracle? God, would you show us your glory today? Would you show up and show off in this place so that even here in this room, before we would leave this place, the miraculous would happen here. And God, we commit ourselves. You do that? Oh, we'll go. We'll spread the word. We won't keep to ourselves the good, the great, the miraculous things that you would do in us and that you would do in our midst. Lord, today the reminder, may it strengthen and sustain us, encourage, revive, restore life. I pray in Jesus' name. This morning, the reminder from Bethany, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We can go to him, trust in his word, hope in his power, and we can see him show up and show off. That's a good thing for us to remember today, no matter what's going on, no matter where we're at. I pray that not only do you remember it today, but I pray all of it that you would experience, that you would go to him. You trust him like you never have before. Hope in him like you never have before. Hope be restored in some of us today. And I pray that all of us would see like we've never seen before, him show up and show off in our lives to do the miraculous thing that we're asking him to do and that we're needing him to do for us. And I pray today the Lord's blessing on you. Would you stand to receive that this morning? Would you extend your hands as I speak it over you? The Lord bless you. Oh, I pray that he does. The Lord keep you. I know that he will. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give to you his goodness, give to you his grace, give to you his favor, give to you his joy, give to you his victory. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive it this morning? Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.